Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
The first song selection that we will sing this evening, the song titled We Shall Assemble. This is 982 in our hymnals. We Shall Assemble, song 982. We will sing through this song two times.
We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne with humble hearts into his presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King.
The next song that we will sing this evening is one that's not found in our hymnals. This song title is Lord, Take Control. Lord, Take Control. We will sing this song and then we'll bow to our God in prayer.
Let us pray. Our Father, again, we're thankful for the opportunity to meet tonight. Father, we hope that you will continue to look over those that of our number that are not feeling as well, that are sick, that are not as healthy as they should be. We pray that you will touch them, help them to heal, help them to be together with us. Father, we also know there are many that are sitting here tonight that have concerns, that have health needs, that their bodies sometimes are just wearing out. We pray that you will look over them and help them to be able to have the strength and the healing powers that they need to be able to be contributing to your good works in this community. Father, we pray that the decisions today that the men put together, that work will help build membership in our community. We hope that the programs that are put in place will help us to fill seats and get everybody together in our community to believe like they should. Father, we also pray that the world that we live in can learn to live in harmony. We have, in our own country, we are pretty much split down the middle. People don't always seem to try to work things out anymore. We complain and argue and don't really listen to each other. Please help this country to be able to do that, to be able to listen, to be able to talk, and be able to reason things out together. Father, as we go through our service tonight, help us to apply the things that we learn to our lives and help bring it to our community. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our next song selection will require our songbooks in our hands. The song that we will sing is number 637. That title, The Last Mile of the Way. Song number 637, The Last Mile of the Way. If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work till the close of the day, I shall see the great King in his beauty when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. If for Christ I proclaim the glad story, if I seek for a sheep gone astray, I am sure he will show me his glory when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. Here the dearest of ties we must sever, tears of sorrow are seen every day. But no sickness, no sighing forever when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. And if here I have earnestly striven, and I've tried all his will to obey, 'twill enhance all the rapture of heaven when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. If you would, at this time, mark our song of encouragement. That number that we will sing after this evening's lesson is number 347. And that song titled, Jesus is Calling. 347, Jesus is Calling. That's an encouragement hymn that we will sing after this evening's lesson. Once you have that selection marked, the song that we will sing prior to this evening's lesson, We Have Heard the Joyful Sound. This is song 722 in our hymnals. We Have Heard the Joyful Sound, song 722.
We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to everyone. singing islands on the sea, echo back the ocean caves, earth shall keep her jubilee, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle's dry, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, by his death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Thank you. Do you like to have your needs met? Do you like to have to know that there's someone that cares about you and wants to help you through life? Well, we have one Jesus that meets all of our needs. And tonight we're going to look at how he meets our needs and how we can meet the needs of others. So if you would turn your Bibles to John chapter 2, and I will be reading out of the New King James Bible this evening. Excuse me. John chapter 2, and let's read verses 1 through 11 and see how Jesus met physical needs. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 12 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was now made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine till now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory to his, and his disciples believed in him. Jesus kind of needed a little push here to get started. And he had a, I don't mean this in a negative, mean way, but a pushy mama. You know, "You need to help these people." And he said, my time has not yet come. And she said, "Please help them." Meeting needs out of the spotlight is what Jesus did here to start with. In Matthew 6:1, it says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them." Well, Jesus didn't go out and make a loud proclamation that he was changing the water to the wine. He just did it. And we know that probably those that worked in the wine, that bringing the wine there, and of course the servants that filled the water pots, and of course when they drew it out and it was wine, they knew. You got others involved, like the servants, in helping. And I think sometimes when we meet people's needs, that it's important not to feel like we've got to do it all ourselves, but we should get other people involved in taking care of these things. Good deeds, therefore, bring good results. And it's important for us to do that. Now, not every time. We can do good deeds for somebody and it not bring good results. It may be people that are taking advantage of it. We find that Jesus encountered this many times, like when he fed the 5,000. I'm sure not all 5,000 of them fed, wanted what he had. Some, when they fed them at another time, they wanted to make him a king, and so on. And so they didn't all have the right idea. But the good thing is that there were many people that heard his message later on and followed him. The apostles grew in faith, and the servants did too. And it said that's the main reason that Jesus did this, to help his disciples, his 12 that he had chosen, to come and follow him and believe. We meet physical needs as well. Sometimes we too need a little pushing. We have to be encouraged to get out and do it. I really thought that we had a really good turnout for our work day, don't you? When we all got together and we were cleaning the building and throwing things away and fixing things. We had a good turnout. And I thought it was good that so many people came and helped out during this time. We need to help with someone's physical needs. People need it. We need to look to help physical needs. And I've seen, again, this congregation do that with people that were members of the church and people that were not. And so it's important for us to do these things. Sometimes, this just needs to be quiet, kind of like Jesus turning the water to wine. But sometimes we do it quietly, but allow the world to see what's going on. Allow people to see these things so that they can come to believe as well. Matthew 5:16, the same chapter, about the same place we quoted from Matthew before, it says, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." So there's times when we need to let our light shine. I mean, we're advertising, for example, for our food pantry. We want people to know that we want to help them. And so this is something that can be done. And there's many other things as well, but what we need to do is, when we do it, we don't do it so that we can get a pat on the back. We don't do it so we can say, look what a good servant I am. But we do it to help people and to glorify God. Turn now to John chapter 3, the next chapter over, and let's begin reading in verse 1. As we look at Jesus meeting spiritual needs. There was a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who comes down from heaven, that is the Son of Man, and Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus saw that Nicodemus was looking for a closer walk with God. There's a lot of things, a lot of times I wish I could have been there and sat down and heard all that conversation that went on. And saw Nicodemus as probably an older Pharisee, teacher of the law, And Jesus here, a young man, teaching him and talking to him. And Nicodemus learning, listening, soaking it up in all that was going on. Nicodemus thought that he was right with God. I mean, he was a Pharisee. He was a teacher of the law. He should have known all these things. He probably could quote you any passage in the Old Testament that he wanted to. But he thought he knew it all. And yet Jesus was trying to very gently, I believe, at first, and then a little rebuke later on, teach him about what he should know about God. But patiently. You know, to me, John chapter 3 is one of the greatest sermons that was preached. And it was to one man. To one man, Jesus preached this to Nicodemus. And Jesus spoke right to the heart of Nicodemus's need, that he must be born again. He talked about his need to be born again. And again, there was a misunderstanding. So many times when Jesus taught, the people really didn't understand what he was saying exactly. And Nicodemus said, well, how can I be born again, right? Nicodemus had to understand this. He had to know what Jesus was talking about. And yet he wanted to make sure, how can I be born again? Can I enter a second time into my mother's womb? Then Jesus talked to Nicodemus about himself. This is the key. When we're trying to meet people's spiritual needs, we need to talk to them about Jesus. Jesus needs to be the center and the thought of everything that we do. When we teach Jesus, then everything else falls in place. Believe in me, says Jesus, if you want to have eternal life. Of course, we didn't read verse 16, did we? You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's a part of this story. But Jesus told him that if you believe in me, then you're going to have eternal life. We're talking to you, Nicodemus, about being born again. Being born of the water and of the Spirit. And yet Nicodemus wasn't fully grasping this. Many times it takes a long time to get through to some people. And other times it can come in a short time. And it's important for us to be patient. Let people come to the understanding and the knowledge of the truth. Well, in meeting people's spiritual needs, we need to find out where they are at in life. We might, as we talk to them and find out where they've been, what their spiritual background is, what their situation is right now in life. If we can understand these things of where they're at in life, then we can better understand how we can reach them, what we can teach them, how we can bring them to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of salvation. Start with people where they are, where they're at, and go from there. If we start there, then we can go. I mean, there's no use talking to someone about Jesus to start with if they don't even believe that there is a Jesus or a God, or, you know, if they're atheistic. Well, we need to start someplace else and start there and help them to come to that knowledge of knowing him. We need to start where people are at. And every person, I'll tell you right now, is at a different place. Every person, because of their circumstances of life and things that are happening to them. It may take a long time for them to be born again. I think the longest I ever studied with someone was for 3 years. Every week for 3 years, practically. And this young man, I mean, he was a smart, intelligent young man. And I couldn't figure out what's holding him back. And finally, I just flat out asked him, what is keeping you from being baptized? And he said, well, he didn't feel like he was worthy. And I said, oh, that's great. And he said, what? What do you mean? I said, it's great that you realize that you're not worthy, but that you can be saved by Jesus Christ. None of us are worthy when we come to God, but he can make us worthy by taking away our sins. Or a short time. You know, I've studied with, you know, I've known of people, and I'm sure you have too, that after maybe hearing just a sermon or two sometimes, they're at the right place where they're ready to come to God right now. And so people are different, every one of them. But most of all, people must come to know who Jesus is. If we teach just the facts of salvation, for example, they may say, well, I understand that. I understand the facts. But they don't understand about who Jesus is, really, and about what it means to make a commitment to him and give their lives to him. Because if they don't understand who he is and what he does for us, then they're not really going to last. They're not really going to hold on to Jesus. a young woman came to me one time, and from a denomination, and she came, started attending our group, and it was about the time we were going to go to a Bible camp, and so she went with us, and after probably a few days at Bible camp, she wanted to be baptized, and so I sat down with her and studied, and she truly understood what baptism was about. But shortly after we got back, she met a boy who wasn't a Christian, and we never saw her again. So she knew the facts, but she really didn't come to know Jesus as her Savior. People need to understand what Jesus will do for them when they give their lives to Him. Jesus also meets our emotional needs. Chapter 4. So turn over one more chapter, and let's begin here in verse 5. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to her, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Jesus saw the woman's needs. You know, he saw what she needed to be accepted, and that she didn't have any acceptance in her life. She was the only one at the well in the afternoon. She was by herself. She was probably despised because she'd had five husbands and sleeping with a man or being with a man that was not her husband now. He met her emotional needs with a spiritual answer of living water. And we know that Jesus often talked to people about living water, that he was the living water, he was the bread of life. But Jesus is telling her, "I'm going to give you water that's going to last forever." Of course, you think about that. We think about, didn't understand it, did she? She didn't grasp that. She said, "Give that to me and I will never get thirsty again. I won't even have to come to this well." Well, that would be a fix. That would be a salvation issue. Salvation of her efforts, right? But not salvation of her soul. Therefore, he met her painful need of relationships with acceptance and understanding. Jesus knew her. He knew her for what she had gone through and who she was and what she was struggling with, and that she needed a Savior, needed a Messiah. He met her religious need with truth and encouragement. You know, he told her that, you know, the Jews have the way to salvation. You don't understand the Father, but the truth is coming so that you can worship in spirit and in truth. He met her need of a Savior with himself. You know, he says, she said, we know that there's a Messiah coming. Can't you just picture her listening to him, and he's saying to her, I who speak to you am he. Wow, what a profound moment in time when he spoke to her. When he told her that he was her answer to all her life, to all her problems, and everything that she needed was himself. Jesus is the answer. We need to help people to see and understand that Jesus is the answer to eternal life. Therefore, meeting people's needs, we accept people for who they are and where they are. We've been talking about this some already. We accept them. That doesn't, you know, it always give them the living water of Jesus to answer their spiritual and emotional needs, that Jesus is those answers. We accept people where they are does not mean that we accept their sins. Jesus didn't accept her sin, her past life. He just knew it. God knows our life. He knows where we're at. We know what he knows what we have done. He knows what we're striving to become. And so Jesus didn't accept her sins. Think about when he called Matthew the tax collector. He didn't accept the sins of Matthew, but he called him to become more. He didn't come, you know, and we could go on through all the other apostles, couldn't we, and see their weaknesses and find it and see what Jesus called them to. But we understand them for where they are at. That's so important. And it doesn't happen all at once. It doesn't happen overnight. It probably may not happen for maybe during a lot of times that you're talking to them. But as we get to know people, we understand their experience of life. We understand their spiritual needs, their emotional needs. And we understand them so we can bring them to Christ. Encourage people, therefore, with the truth of the Bible. Jesus shared with them that he was the light, that he was the Messiah, that he was the Savior. All answers center in the Savior, Jesus Christ. All answers. Everything that question that we have for life cannot. That doesn't mean we have to turn to the Bible and say, this is the answer to this, some questions of the world. But we know that we can turn to God and he can guide us and direct us in our walk with him. God will meet all of our needs through Jesus Christ. And we can help meet people's needs that we face each day through Jesus Christ so that they can know him and so that we can guide them. Did everybody accept Jesus as he tried to? No, we know he didn't. A lot of people walked away from him. A lot of people were there at the cross crying, crucify him. But still, on that first day that the sermon was preached, almost about 3,000 people were added, were baptized into Christ. And this will happen if we believe and give our lives to him. We have to decide each day that today, God, you're going to have my life. I'm going to belong to you. What I do is for you. If we are baptized into Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, that's the beginning point of our, once we're saved, this is how we come into him, to have our sins washed away. And if we do that, then we begin our lives with a commitment to him, a surrender of life, so that we can have our sins washed away and walk in him. If we belong to him and live faithfully to him, be faithful unto death, the Bible tells us in Revelation. Be faithful unto death. Won't you come and let God meet your needs through Jesus Christ tonight? I pushed the wrong button. It's not going. What?
Jesus is calling,
calling, calling.
Jesus is calling. Yeah. his glory. Glory, glory, glad he would welcome me in. They were so happy, 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 who do their Savior obey? Why should I linger, linger, linger? I will arise and away. Jesus is waiting, waiting.
Is there anyone here this evening that needs to partake of the Lord's Supper? In a moment, we will be dismissed with a prayer. We want to keep in mind all of those that are on our prayer list. Most are identified there in the bulletin. Just keep encouraging one another. Let them know that they're important to you, that we miss them, and that we desire very much for them to be back with us. And I think that would be an encouraging message for everyone to hear. Is there anything further that we need to make known? If not, let's be dismissed in prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for our Lord's Day. We had the opportunity to come together to recognize you as our God and Jesus as our Savior, and your word is our direction to heaven. Mm-hmm. We pray for you to bless those of our number who are not this fortunate. Those on our prayer list and those who are homebound, we pray you bless and comfort them in whatever their needs may be. We're so thankful, Father, today that Michaela is back with us. What a joy it is to see her smiling face again. We pray for you bless her and as they take her back to college. We pray for Marissa, who's in Springfield, give her strength and give her courage and give her protection. We pray for all the teachers, to school teachers, students, and bus drivers who will be taking the children to school and taking care of them, Father, protect them as they go about their daily activities and take them back home safely. We pray, Father, you bless this country we're in, which is full of turmoil. I cannot believe, Father, we're seeing our own people fighting our own people. This is unreal. But Father, touch those in their hearts in some way and turn all this around, that we can once again live together in peace and harmony together. We pray you bless those, Father, of our number that will be going about their jobs this week. Give them a daily protection to they can go to their work and come back home safely. Mm-hmm. We pray you'll be with us this week, and we're thankful for the lesson Doug's given today, mm-hmm. and the songs we've had, the prayers we've had, everything we had today. We're so thankful. We pray that we've done it all in the right manner.
Yes.
We pray you give us a good night's rest, a good day tomorrow, and forgive our sins. And finally, that last day, Father, save us in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.